Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 742, Air.
Bam.
It's, how do you get the title wrong on Air? Like, I like to always get the titles wrong.
Can't.
I just couldn't come up with one.
There's nothing.
One word, three letters. Like, how do you?
Just do it. It's an Urge song, isn't it?
Air?
No.
What? Oh,
Four letters
and three words.
Something like that.
Yeah.
That's a local reference.
Our apologies to Steve Ewing.
That's right. Correct.
They were almost a national reference.
So close.
So close.
Went to high school with those guys.
Yeah. We had the two bands from that era that got so close.
Gravity Kills?
I would say they made it. I mean, they were in a David Fincher film, right?
That's fair.
Yeah. But New World Spirits.
I don't remember them.
Oh, yeah. They sang Bed. That was probably.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
They got signed to a national label.
Yeah.
And had a national release. But it was like the way I remember it is the president of the label changed like 2 weeks before their record came out. And the new guy was like, well, they're not one of my bands. They're not a priority.
Goodbye.
And they just kind of.
That stinks.
Yeah.
I do still love you some Urge, though.
Yeah, Urge is great, and so is New World Spirits.
Yeah,
so.
Let's do it. Yeah.
Story of the Year made it.
That's true. I said from that era.
I guess that's true. Yeah.
Story of the Year is not from that era.
How many other St. Louis bands are that made it? Are there
Pavlov's Dog?
I mean, they're big here.
I guess that's true.
What?
Chuck Berry?
Chuck Berry, Story
that's
of the
fair.
Year.
And Nelly?
Nelly's huge.
Nelly's, you know.
Yeah, that's...
Nelly
that's
is maybe
about
one
it,
of the biggest.
I yeah, I think Nelly is not counting Chuck Berry.
Right,
is the biggest.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I mean, when you're in a Robert Zemeckis,
and I mean,
movie.
I used to live down the street from the guys in Story of the Year. They're from North County.
Oh, really?
Wilson Terrace. They lived at the other end of the block of like. They live like four houses down from me because I would always see their van. At the time, the band was called Big Blue Monkey.
Yeah. Mm.
And so whenever we would drive by, like Zach was little, and we'd be like, monkey, 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 whenever we'd see the Big Blue Monkey van.
Did they break off and do something else?
Or they become Story of the Year.
Did Story of the Year become something else?
Was one of the guys in Greek Fire, maybe?
That's what it was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was Moon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was in Greek Fire.
But yeah, in fact, one of the guys, I don't even know which one, but one of the guys, the stereo got stolen out of my car because I lived in North County.
Sure.
And so when I took it to Best Buy to get a new stereo put in, one of the guys was like, oh, you live down the street from me. And I was like, are you the Big Blue Monkeys guy? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, how about that?
I got a hookup? No.
And, yeah. And he's like, you're the guy who always parks the Point van in his driveway.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, yeah.
I'm
like,
am
that's
that
why
guy.
You know who I am. Okay. I get it.
And he's like, I'm enjoying your stereo. Nice.
Yeah.
And now that guy is on the Point. If it's the same guy.
Yeah. I don't know who it was that installed it, but then he brought me some CDs. And,
nice.
And I was just like, I don't make these sorts of decisions. And I gave him to Donnie.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Yeah, I mean, if, you're going to go to anybody.
And
that's
now
the guy to give it to.
And now
yeah.
Story of the year.
I know. There it is.
Yes. So anyway, before we get to all that, I guess we should all introduce ourselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, iHeart, TuneIn. While you're there, be sure and follow us so you never miss an episode. Maybe leave us a review.
Somebody did.
Oh, did they?
They did.
Was it good?
Yeah.
Or is it worth reading?
It's worth reading.
Okay.
5 stars. Love you guys. From Bumblebee Loves You.
Must be a Transformers
fan. Oh, I was like Bumblebee Tuna from Ace Ventura, but that also dated myself.
Wow. Old man.
A great show. Feels like I'm hanging out with my friends who actually like the same movies that I do sometimes, which is great. Always makes my day, and I appreciate all the hard work. So thanks, Bumblebee.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
It's very nice of you.
Especially since we're recording this on Mother's Day.
That's
so
right.
One or more of us could be single by the time this airs.
I mean, somebody was at one point because he recorded on a Mother's Day.
I don't think
1, 2, 3, not it.
Yeah. I don't think that was what
was
driving
not.
That.
Yeah. Not.
So where is that? Oh, yeah. Shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on Facebook. You can find us there. Facebook.com/RealSpoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. It's called the League of Show Shares because we're hoping to share an episode. Lots of people shared an episode last week.
Oh, great. Guardians.
Guardians. Yeah. So lots of people that, you know, were like, I didn't see whatever. I didn't see whatever dumb movie you did this week.
Yeah,
I saw Guardians.
Yeah, I saw Guardians.
Yeah. So people who were kind enough to share an episode include Librarian Cynthia, Lane LeVanway, Ralph Tribble, Tammy Lynn Powers Betts, Julian, Jordan, Chris Sanders, Travis Tewitt, who just had a baby.
Congratulations.
Well, he didn't, but his wife did.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. So
is the baby in radio?
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, these babies are so lazy.
I'm telling you. All I do is lay there and poop.
I know.
And pee.
So Chris Valls. Speaking of laying and pooping and peeing, I don't know.
I mean, at some point, maybe not all at the same time.
Well, or I mean, maybe. It depends on how your weekend went. You know,
that's true.
Phil Timon, Chris Magic Man, Gabriel Lugo, Laura Connolly Quiddick, Dissect That Film, Brent Smith, Christopher Rex, Heather Sachs, Batman Ride Guy, James Install, David Rojas, Blake Fail? Do I?
Epically.
Yeah.
Epically.
Blake Fail, Colby Mack, Mike, and Oscar. Ronnie Castle, Binge Movies, Feelin' Film, Matt Naglia, In Session Film, and Nostalgia Cast. So thank you very much.
Thanks
for that.
Everybody.
And finally, don't forget we have a Patreon, patreon.com/RealSpoilers.
I was just checking. Our Guardians episode put us to the number 81 podcast in the U.S. for film and television.
How about that? That's pretty great, man. That's in the U.S.?
Yeah.
Hey, that's all right.
So we've been number 10 is our highest we've ever placed, which I think is when we got a lot of listeners in the beginning.
Yeah.
And then
we got featured.
We did.
Notable.
Right. Yeah. So we were the top. Yeah. We were the top 10. And then I think if I look back, we hover around, let's see, last month in April, we were 80 again, 79, 71.
That's our spot, baby.
Yeah.
71. Last week, 81. So, which was after this one. So, yeah. So, we hover around the 50s to 70s, which is pretty cool.
I mean, in the U.S.
All
that's
the
pretty
podcasts
impressive.
In the U.S. for film and television. But, yeah, the Guardians, like,
we just keep lowering the bar.
But but you think about it, there's more and more competition.
Absolutely.
For movie podcasts.
Yes,
it's not like people
are.
They're not falling off as quick as they're adding on, right?
Correct.
Right.
So that's pretty cool. So thank you, everyone, for your listening, of course, but your sharing. All that stuff helps get us seen, and the higher we rank, the more people will find us and check us out and everything. So it really does help.
Absolutely.
Big time.
So, and you can also watch us on YouTube.
Yeah.
You can watch these if that's your jam.
Yeah. And we got 220 subscribers now, so.
Yeah, we're getting there.
Slowly but surely. Yeah.
Anyway, there's all that. Let's dig in to air.
This was fun.
Yeah, it was.
This is really good.
This is just like a solid movie. You know, it's a good story. It's funny. It's interesting.
It's funny. This is a trope that you don't normally see outside of biopics about bands.
Oh.
Which is, we all know that this guy who has this crazy idea is right. So,
correct.
Like, we get to, like, enjoy how wrong everybody is.
Yeah.
But, like, the whole time I watch the movie, I'm like, I mean, I know the guy's wrong, but he's not wrong.
Right.
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 It's like this guy, what's his name? The Matt Damon character.
That's all you need.
The Matt Damon character.
Yep.
It's only because he happened to pick the greatest athlete in the history of the sport. And honestly,
yeah, Ronda Rousey.
Yeah. Yeah, she's the greatest athlete in the history of the NBA.
She was the most popular. Recognizable. Greatest, yes.
That's not the case anymore.
Like, all it took, to change the entire course of this, all it would have taken was for Michael Jordan to trip over a curb.
That's exactly it.
And it's totally different. Yeah.
I love that he says that. He's like, look, at the end of the movie,
yeah,
when everything goes down and Michael Jordan's mom,
yeah,
says he wants a part of the shoe sales. And he's just
it's a guaranteed contract.
He could blow his knee out tomorrow.
Right.
She was like, uh-huh.
Wouldn't affect from the sales percentage, but the guaranteed $250,000 for 5 years, that's guaranteed. That's like baseball. That's mm-hmm. like,
yeah,
you sign up, you get injured, and you get $20 million a year. Like, you're that's getting it. That. It doesn't right. matter.
You're getting the money.
So Sonny Vaccaro is the guy that Matt Damon plays.
But right. It is, to your point, though, I do like that we know
right.
who he's going to become. But at that moment, right, when he gets drafted, nobody really knows.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, he was really good in college.
Right.
But nobody knows what he was going to be when he is probably, and I don't think they're wrong. I think he probably is the greatest competitive athlete ever.
Yeah.
Like, that dude is on another level.
Better than LeBron? Some people argue that.
They're wrong. Yes. I don't know anything about sports, but they're wrong.
Yes. Okay.
When Shaq says, like, I'm going to listen to the guy that played the game. When somebody is trying to say that Jordan or that LeBron is better than Jordan, and then the guy who played against Jordan is like, no.
I'm just saying people make that argument. I don't follow sports either, but I know some people try to say LeBron is.
You can try to make that argument. You can try.
Yeah. But, you know, it's really interesting, though. Like you said, I mean, it's very reasonable of all the people around him to be like,
right,
you're insane, right?
Yeah.
And also this guy, they show he has a bit of a gambling problem.
Right.
And what he's doing is he's taking big...
He's gambling Nike's money. Now, I will also say, from the way this movie makes it play out, and I know nothing about this story other than what the movie shows me.
Sure.
So I don't... Like, it could be total BS, sure. right?
Right.
But it also seems like the basketball division of Nike was circling the drain. So, like, they needed to either take a big swing, not to mix metaphors, or just be done with
it. Or punt it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or punt it.
Or get off the pot.
There you go.
To go back to.
Correct. Earlier today.
Travis T-Witt's babies or Chris Balls.
They needed a hole in one or it was going to be a fumble.
That's right.
Right.
Man. So. That, you know, as a guy who watches sports, that was a hard thing to listen to.
Yeah.
Better hope it's not a safety.
I know. Do you know what a safety is?
Yeah.
What?
It's when you tackle the quarterback into the end zone.
It's like when you basically score in your own end zone.
I am very impressed.
Yeah.
Good job, guys.
Yeah.
Well done. But yeah. I think
I watched a TV show about football one time.
Yeah.
Friday Night Lights. Yeah.
You're like, it was a plot point in the movie Gus about the field goal kicking donkey.
The longest yard.
Hey, yeah. You know those Air Bud movies?
There's a lot of those.
They come in handy. So,
but they need four shoes. Why didn't they go after dogs?
That's true. Yeah.
Right?
Air Bud.
Sell two pairs to every.
Yeah.
I mean, they do kind of make a mention that their running shoes are kicking ass.
Right.
But I mean, even when they say that, though,
I think at the time the thought process was like, well, regular people will wear a running shoe out and about.
Yes.
As a sneaker.
Right.
But they won't with a basketball shoe. Like, it's a special.
High tops.
I think the thought process was it was almost like trying to get people to wear cleats.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you wear those when you play baseball.
For the game.
Yep.
Yeah. And then you're done and you take them off.
I remember as a kid who read comics and an adult who reads comics.
And as a middle-aged
man. A teenager. But on the back of all of those issues were those Dr. J, Larry Bird Converse ads.
Yeah.
Like, if you're
going to go one of two ways back then with your future. You were either going to go the Dr. J route.
Correct.
You were going to go what I did, the Hostess cupcake route. I went with Hostess cupcakes.
But that's the thing, right? So at this point in time,
there were no Nike ads. That's what I'm saying.
But there were no shoes like this that became fashion statements. Now you wear Jordans, and that's a status symbol.
Right.
If you have these $300.
You better not
scuff them. But I mean, they're $200-$300.
I bought my first pair of Air Jordans like 8 months ago.
You own a pair of Air Jordans?
I own a pair of Air Jordans.
Which kind?
I don't know the Air Jordan.
Well, but there's so many different Drew?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know what they were.
They just came out with the new Spider-Verse ones.
I did see those.
I got them for a friend.
Dope.
I got them. You have to enter a raffle. You get to buy them.
It's
Lisa,
crazy.
You have to sign up with all this stuff, put in a raffle. Then they go pending all day at wait. And then it's like, you got them. So I just got them for my friend, but they're really cool looking.
Yeah. I did not get like a hard to get kind.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. I was like, so we were going to this thing in New York where we had to dress up. And I was like, well, I'm only going to kind of dress up.
Oh, and so, right. So you needed fashionable sneakers.
But yeah. Those sneakers work.
They did. And so like I had a suit coat, but I had like a Speed Racer t-shirt on and then, and then Air Jordans.
You're like our version of Kevin Smith.
But the point is,
I also have lost a lot of weight and don't smoke pot.
Yeah. True. So, but that's the thing is, so at this point in time, you weren't wearing them as a fashion statement. So they were, people were going to see him on the court in these shoes,
right.
And then they would become obviously the huge.
So having never worn a pair until my 50s, they're uncomfortable. I don't understand why people wear them
because they're not jogging running shoes.
They're not
which is
comfortable,
what,
and I can't believe. Like that people play sports in these things.
They don't.
What isn't that what he wears on the court?
So,
they're so heavy and clunky. I felt like I was Impulse.
I don't think that the Jordans comics. Are. I don't think Jordans are worn.
That joke was only for you.
I know.
No
it was
one
really
else
good.
Is getting that joke.
I was a good joke.
Yeah.
I don't think that the Jordans get worn on the court anymore. I think
I think it's safe to say we don't know. We can't answer that question.
But isn't that the whole
but
point?
That,
he wore them on the court
thing,
and people bought them?
So, and back then, maybe.
Yes.
I don't know if today they still do, but my guess is that if you have a brand that big, they probably still make basketball shoes for the players.
Well, it depends on who
Isn't
has
the ankle support. Is that why? Because, I mean, they do.
Yeah, they go up
higher. Yeah, you tie them up. You're supposed to tie them up around your ankles, and you don't. Break
now, to be fair, you bought them and then wore them one time. Maybe they break in when you play basketball.
You know
what I mean?
You do not wear Jordans to play basketball anymore.
Yeah.
That's not a thing anymore.
But maybe they do have a kind that the players wear.
Maybe.
Though.
Well, yeah. What I'm saying is like that depends on who is the sponsor for the NBA, which I don't know, right? Like Adidas is the sponsor for the NHL. So all of the gear.
Do you know it's pronounced Adidas?
It's okay, it's Adidas.
Let me know.
I've been wearing Samba since I was 4.
And hillbillies want to be called people of the land.
but it ain't going to happen. Well, that is a deep Simpsons reference, and that's a good one. That is a good one.
So do you guys know the story of Nike, how it came to be?
It's probably something with Nazis.
No, that's Adidas.
No, right. Oh, okay. That's Adidas.
I read this book, and it was called like The Secret History of Corporations, and I was like, oh, this would be
they were all, yeah.
Every one of them was like, oh, yeah, they were Nazis. Like,
yeah,
every
right.
one of them.
Volkswagen, Hugo Boss.
Yeah. Like, was it like Chanel number 5?
Amazon.
Yeah. It was like every one of them was like, well, they started
well,
as
that's
Nazis.
That's just the Tiki Torch division.
That's it.
So Phil Knight wanted to do something. He didn't know what he was going to do. And he noticed that he was like a business school guy. And he noticed that the Japanese had these shoes that they didn't have this style in the U.S. and no one was importing them. So Nike started out importing Japanese shoes. That's how the company starts. And then they get into this. They get popular. They're making several $100,000 worth of sales in the first few years and all that. And then the Japanese manufacturer tries to cut them out. They realize they're like, well, like, yeah, this is great. Now our brand is
but
out
like,
there.
We can sell them.
And, yeah. Well, and they're also like this little company, Blue Ribbon Shoes, that he just kind of made up on the spot when he had the meeting with them. And then that was their company name. They're not big enough. Like now people want these shoes and we can get someone to really distribute them and sell them. And so then what would become Nike went out and decided to make their own shoes because they're like, well, these guys are trying to get out of the contract and get other people behind our back. We had the exclusivity. So they went and designed their own shoes, and that's where the guy isn't it Peter Phil the guy that designed the Jordan the guy that the designer
oh, the guy
that
oh,
said
the,
passed
the,
away
the,
just
the cleft
the
palate
movie. Yeah
yeah
he
the guy's clearly on the spectrum
absolutely well I so like that guy that actor always kind of plays it like I yeah. You see that guy all the time
yeah
and he always kind of plays that guy
yeah
so but I did think
but
I was
for
like,
this guy to be that focused on
Peter.
Shoes like I'm thinking he's on this. I don't even mean it in a mean way.
No,
I'm just
no.
Like, but
the way
people,
he plays it.
But people who are on the spectrum, they get hyper focused on one thing and they end up really excelling at it because it's the only
it's
thing
their
mind thinks about.
It is their thing.
So yeah. Peter Moore is the real guy.
And they said that
Peter
the
Moore,
real guy passed away
right before the
like
movie.
Like a week
yeah.
before it got announced it was going into production.
But so he's played by Matthew Mayer is the actor's name. But I believe he's the one that Phil Knight found right in the beginning when they were trying to design their own shoes. And he was actually making changes and things to the Japanese shoes and the Japanese were kind of ignoring him and
just a shoe hacker
yeah and so I believe he's the one that you know, was with the company pretty early on and then would go on to design the Jordan and everything. But so they started out as a company importing Japanese shoes and then decided to make their own, which would become Nike. And it's interesting. I didn't know they had the root in that. I watched a little documentary thinking like, well, how did Nike start? I don't know anything of their story.
I remember when I was a kid, like those Nike, getting a pair of Nikes, like that was a big deal.
And jogging wasn't even popular until Nikes. So they actually
jogging.
Yeah, they actually made the act of jogging like that wasn't a thing until Nikes.
There's a great scene in a relatively little known Albert Brooks movie called Modern Romance.
Yeah,
which is such a funny movie. But where he decides to take up jogging,
okay,
and the guy's trying to sell him all the jogging equipment. And so it's Albert Brooks and his brother.
Super Dave, right?
Super Dave.
Yeah.
So Albert Brooks' real last name is Einstein.
Yeah.
But he had to change it.
Gee, I wonder why.
Yeah. But his brother's Dave Einstein. So
he's in Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's great.
That's what people would probably at least recently know him.
Yeah, like people of my age know him as Super Dave Osborne. But younger people know him from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Marty Huff.
He's so good.
No, he's the guy with the voice.
Yeah.
He's the guy that's I can't even do that.
Super
like
raspy.
Like you're breathing in as you're speaking, but I can't even do it.
Punched in the throat.
But their dad was actually a very famous radio comedian.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And he's kind of, and then now he's kind of famous for, he literally died on stage. Like
he was
on stage and like had a heart attack.
Who did?
Their father.
Albert Brooks' dad.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But anyway, it's called Modern Romance. It's a really funny movie, but it's kind of like quiet funny.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my favorite Albert Brooks movie. I like it better than Lost in America.
Really?
Yeah. And okay. But there's a
How
scene.
About Defending
Yeah.
Your
I,
life.
I think the last half of Defending Your Life just falls apart.
Oh.
But Lost in America is great. Defending Your Life is good, but it just doesn't, I don't know, to me it doesn't stick the landing. But Modern Romance, my favorite.
Okay.
And but there's a scene where he's selling him jogging, because jogging is new.
Yeah.
Right?
And you had all that gear.
And it's just Dave being such a condescending prick to Albert Brooks. And I'm watching this and I'm like, I think this was probably their entire relationship.
I think the character on Curb is not far off.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty spot on.
But that's what you see in the movie when they're talking about, like, this basketball part is nothing. Like, they had become a behemoth when it came to jogging shoes.
Yeah.
And that's what they mentioned in the film.
So focus on what's working. Yeah. I mean, I get it. Like,
they revolutionized and basically popularized jogging, and everyone was buying Nike.
that
20-whatever percent of the share of all shoes sold was basically all jogging shoes.
That last scene of the movie when Matt Damon's going to go jogging, and he starts, and he was like, No, this is dumb.
This is awful. Yeah.
But yeah, so this, like we said,
Sonny
play, he's a scout. He's going to high school games, but he's apparently like one of the greatest scouts ever. He can see talent in someone almost immediately.
But he's not a talent scout. He's like a rep. What would you call it? An endorsement scout.
I guess that's fair. But,
he's trying to look for players that are, they're going to be able to get cheap enough, but they'll become the next big thing.
They've got.
Not to mix metaphors. He's trying to Moneyball.
That did remind me a lot of Moneyball. In the fact that you don't really have to care about sports to appreciate the business aspect that revolves around
this
sports.
This is like The Big Short, but not as serious. There are parts. I got a lot of Big Short and Moneyball vibes from this movie, but it definitely doesn't take itself.
Because the comedy
is very similar to Moneyball.
Yeah,
it's where it's like under the table.
Yeah.
It just, when Moneyball, if you've never seen it, is absolutely
it's
fantastic.
Great. Yeah.
And this wasn't written by Ben Affleck and Matt Damon. Obviously, Affleck directs it. Damon's the star of it.
It wasn't written by them?
But it wasn't. And so I was thinking like maybe their writing had something to do with that, but it was written by Alex
Converse. Yeah.
Converse wrote it. It's a really big piece. It's his only
Nike
writing.
He owns Converse.
It's his only writing credit.
He did a hell of a job.
He's not even clickable on Wikipedia.
So it really surprised me because I figured, some of this banter and all that is Affleck and Damon writing that.
Yeah.
But this guy wrote it, and it really felt like it reminded me of more of a early, like a Good Will Hunting type or a not. I know Sorkin is definitely more heavy, more monologue-y, but still like that fast, like that real conversations.
Lots of walk and talks.
Walk and talks.
Patter, repartee.
Yes, exactly. And so I was really impressed to see because I just presumed they wrote it.
It's a pretty great cast, right?
You've got fantastic
Jason
cast,
Bateman, who anytime you get to see him show up is always great. Good stuff. You got Viola Davis playing Michael Jordan's mom. I do like
Chris Messina as the agent.
Oh, that's who that. I knew that guy, Jay Moore, which I didn't recognize him at first.
Jay Moore was in this?
Jay Moore is the attorney in the very beginning of the movie. He's the attorney for Adidas.
Oh,
Adidas. Oh, Adidas is why you don't.
Yeah, that's my point, Tom.
Yeah.
Marlon Wayans?
Marlon Wayans, who gives Chris Chris Tucker?
Chris Tucker.
Like, yeah. two dudes, I was like, man, I watched these guys all the time when I was younger. Yeah. And both of them give great performances in this movie.
It's the dialogue of Chris Tucker in particular, where I'm just like, and he's doing a great job delivering it, but it's that fast-paced, funny dialogue where I'm like, who wrote this thing?
I felt like he tried to get away for that for a second, right? Like, he doesn't... Was he in Silver Linings Playbook?
Yeah.
Where he, like, that, the whole Friday...
Yeah, he was thing, trying to, like...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Rush Hour, kind of get away from that. And he didn't hear.
No.
Like, the way he delivered stuff felt like the old Chris
Tucker.
It
is funny, but it still isn't...
It is not.
Goofy. I mean, there's serious stuff in it, too, but he does a great job of delivering comedy, but like you said, kind of underhand. It doesn't undermine the serious stuff going on.
And it makes sense for who he is and what he's doing.
Right.
And you could see it's like a character that character slips in and out of.
Right.
Right.
Because when he needs to.
When he goes into the boardroom, he was like really kind of over the top.
Yes.
And it's just like, dude,
ramped it up.
Dial it back.
Yeah. Like, ramped it up.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, and I do like that we never see Michael Jordan.
Yeah, I read an article where they were talking to Affleck, Damon, one, both of them, and they were saying that, like,
that kind
of
one.
Yeah, they said that they were just like, he's too visually recognizable.
Yeah,
like anybody we cast, that it's just gonna be, but that's not Michael Jordan.
And I was wondering if it was a rights issue, but then they had all the footage.
No, yeah, that's a smart decision. Who
and
are you gonna
I
get
believe
to play?
They said they went to Jordan and they were like, "Are you okay with this?" Like, I don't think he made anything off this movie, but that if he was like, "Uh-uh," they just wouldn't have moved forward.
Sure,
but he was okay with it. But they, I guess,
he said you have to have Viola Davis play my mom.
Did he really say that?
And that was his demand. He said that's fine, but Viola Davis needs to play her mom. So they're like, okay, they had to call.
Man, I forgot that his dad got shot.
Yeah,
I completely forgot about that. But that happened like almost at the same time that Cosby's son got shot.
Did it?
I feel like those were like around the same time.
Yeah, I know.
But
that Gonzaga thing is a Kimmel bit, right? Because they're all friends, or Matt Damon especially. Kimmel has a bit on his late night show of this Gonzaga University. He says, like, during the Final Four and stuff, he's like, this is a made up school. I don't think this exists. But they say it like three times and they talk about it. I'm like, they had to put that in there for Kimmel.
That must have been.
With the connection. Because they say it a couple times and they're like, where's Gonzaga? And he says, Washington State. Because, Kimmel's always like, that doesn't exist. Where is this school?
Well, I have a parking lot on my campus called Gonzaga.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he's basically Nike has. Was it 25 grand? Four increments of 25 grand.
They have
250,000
for four players. That's what they wanted.
The theory is that they're going to spread it out over two or three lesser players because they can't compete against the big names.
Right.
And so they're going to spread it out over two or three and hope that one of them pops. Yeah.
So
Sonny gets the idea.
Sonny
of
sees
like,
Jordan play. And he was like, look, I know that he is going to sign with Converse. Like, we know that's going to happen. You let me take a shot and see if we'll give him the whole thing. And Affleck's like, you out of your mind? Like, you can't give him $250,000.
So Converse wants him.
Converse has him.
Adidas wants him, and he loves their tracksuits.
Because Adidas is very big in the hip-hop world at this point.
Yes, with Run DMC and all, they're blowing up.
So he's like, so they're going to try to get him, and he loves their clothes, but he takes his Converses off and turns it all Adidas afterwards. So like, that's what he really loves, and so they're going to try to get him. And then
you can get away with that before smartphones.
I have Adidas on my feet.
And he's basically like, he'll sign with whoever has the money except for Nike. Nike is the least cool because they're jogging shoes. They're not known as cool.
No.
So it's an uphill battle where he's like, there's no way all these other people want him. They've got the money, and he doesn't want Nike.
And the other problem is that even if they come in at 250, there's a good chance that one of these other companies is going, okay, 250.
Yeah, they're going to match.
Right.
And what are you going to do?
Nothing.
Yeah.
And Nike's entire budget, as we mentioned, is 250. It's not, okay, well, yeah, we've got 250 if he'll take it. It's like, no, that's supposed to buy them several players. So he comes up with this crazy idea where he's just like, look, I know this guy is the next one. But then, you know, when he's meeting with Phil Knight, played by Ben Affleck, Affleck's like, what about the guy you said last year and the year before?
You've said this before.
You've been big on these guys, and they didn't take off the way you said. And then, you know, he does that thing, but it also does kind of sound like a degenerate gambler a little bit. This is the one. I really know this. He wasn't wrong, but, I mean, then again, he did that before, too. So it just sounds like someone that I can see why they'd be hesitant, basically.
Yes. Yeah, it makes sense for Ben Affleck's character to be like, look, man, like, you want to blow the whole budget on this one kid. So he puts a plan together, he being Sonny, where he wants to talk, like, he calls the agent. He calls Michael Jordan's agent.
Chris Messina.
Chris Messina. Mm-hmm. And they have a almost like Tropic Thunder style confrontation where he's like, look, just get me in the room. Just get me in the room with the guy, with them. And he's like, no, like, there's no way. And I do think it's kind of weird that Chris Messina was like, no.
I think it's because in his mind, Jordan's already said this brand is dog
time. He said,
of a sudden your agent says talk to them anyway, well, you're like, but I told you,
yeah,
it's going to make him look bad.
I don't want this.
Right. That's fair.
He said, if anyone that gives him $250,000 in a red Mercedes, he'll sign it with, except for Nike. So even if he gets everything he wants. So as the agent, if you come to your client, you're like, yeah, but I mean, you're just going to. He doesn't want to get fired. Basically.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, it's you don't want to get fired by the guy who will become the great, you know, the logo of the NBA.
But he's already got a deal set up basically with Converse or Adidas. Where
I thought the NBA logo was somebody else.
Oh, I thought it was him.
I don't think so. It's like was somebody it from the. It's like somebody from the set. They won't admit that it's him because if they do,
they have to pay him,
even though everybody knows it's really this guy. But it's not Jordan. I read an article about
I was just thinking of the typical Jordan logo, but I guess that could just be for the Air Jordans.
I think that's the Air Jordan logo that you're thinking of. But the NBA logo, I think it's also the silhouette of a guy, but it's a player.
Oh, it's like, him dribbling a ball. That's what it is.
Yeah, it's like a player from the 70s.
You're right.
And they won't. Like I said, they won't admit that it's him, but everybody
you know
knows
that guy's
him.
Like, that's me.
Yeah.
You know, it's me.
Yeah.
So, but he's already got this deal lined up, and he gets a percentage of the deal. So why does he want to screw that up? But he wants to close this deal and get paid.
And Sonny's like, which, you know, Sonny realizes this is it. Like, and he kind of says, he's like, I'm done. Like, I don't.
Well, he sees the dying division, like Tom said. They've got this board, and they're trying to go after fifth round draft picks. And he has that really good line in there where he's like, telling the board member guy throws out a name, and he's like, tell me about this guy. And he's like, oh, he's a good player. And he's like, yeah, you picked him because he's a fifth round draft pick. Like, that's the highest that we could possibly get still. Like,
that's,
you know, just
good,
admit
a,
it.
I like that. Because, I love that scene when, you know, guys who are in the trenches know what they're talking about. And some dude in the board member is like, oh, it's this guy. Like, tell me about him.
Sonny's out there, like you said, he's looking at high schools and colleges, and he's going out and he's finding these players. And then you have people trying to throw the darts at a
board. They're not Ted Lasso.
So it's funny to see that scene, but he's right, where he's like, you guys don't know. And this guy, he's the fifth round draft pick.
He's like, if you pick this guy and you're wrong, no one's going to yell at you.
Right.
Yeah. But they're also, if they don't get a star, it's been a couple years now without it, and if they don't do it soon, like, no one's going to care. And their basketball division's going to be gone.
And
gone.
That's I would have liked to have seen some more insight into just exactly what convinced Jordan to go with a company that was really floundering. You know,
besides the speech,
Honestly,
it was probably...
What was that percentage deal?
I think that could have been it.
They weren't going to do it. We find out, you know, spoilers to the very end, though, but they work out a deal where it's not just $250,000 a year, which was the highest offer a competitor would have made, but a percentage, and that just didn't happen.
Yeah.
You were paid an endorsement deal. You knew what you were getting.
Isn't that crazy? And like, to think about where we are today.
To get points on every product sold, it changed the industry.
Yeah.
And
I do like the line from Viola Davis. She's like, sometimes there's one person that needs to come along and break the cycle, and it's going to be my son.
But what a great line for, you know, not just then, but today, and not just basketball, but like, people get so complacent with, well, this is just the way it is.
Right.
Sure.
And nothing changes until someone comes and
changes it.
Yeah.
It's a form of collusion, right? Like, there's only three companies, and as long as all of them agreed,
right,
we're not going to give anybody a piece,
right,
then it would work, right?
Yeah.
And as soon as somebody caves, Now everybody wants it.
Well, and they have to because otherwise, well, I'm going to go to Nike where right. they.
This is your wrestling reference.
Oh,
that's what WCW did. That's how they signed
in points.
They signed guaranteed money.
Vince, on the merch?
On the contract. Vince did not do guaranteed money.
Oh.
You were guaranteed, you know, a certain amount, a small amount, but then all the money you would make would be on the gates, on
merch
yeah. stuff like that.
I heard, I was listening to a podcast where someone says that none of the WWE employees are employees. They're independent contractors.
All of the wrestlers are independent contractors.
They make them sign non-competes and stuff, but then they're not even employees.
Correct.
So if they get hurt or they fire them or whatever, you know, don't give them work, they can't go anywhere and they have no...
If you get fired, they have a 90-day no-compete clause. So you have to sit for 90 days.
But they're not employees, so they can't collect unemployment. Like,
or healthcare.
Man, what a shady... Yeah.
But what Eric Bischoff did is he told Kevin Nash, he told Scott Hall, I will give you $500,000 a year set. Mm. And you'll have X amount of dates done.
Yeah.
And then all the guys at the WWF were like, oh, hey, what'd you get? And yeah. I don't have to
guaranteed money.
Yeah. And that changed the industry for wrestling. Yeah. So he lays out this plan and Chris Messina says, no, don't go anywhere near him. Don't talk to him. Don't call them. Oh, that's true. He does say don't call them.
He doesn't think anyone would be bold enough to just show up. So he's like, do not call them.
And he says, okay, I won't.
Won't call them.
So he gets in his car.
And he talks to Jason Bateman and like he thinks this
idea is... Bateman says, don't you dare.
Well, right. Bateman is like...
It's a very large breach of etiquette.
Yeah. Well, and Bateman, he tells Bateman, he's like, I want to give it all to Jordan. I want to give the whole 250. He's like, no. He's like, that's our whole budget.
Right.
You don't know what's going to happen, whatever. And they're all just like, no, you can't do this. He goes to Phil Knight and he's like, no. I want to go out with people. He's like, no. And so he basically is like, I got nothing left. This is dying. I got to pick a winner here. And so he bets his whole career.
Is this when he goes and talks to Marlon Wayans?
Marlon Wayans. Yep. So Marlon Wayans was like an Olympic coach.
He was the Olympic. Yes, you're right. He was the Olympic team coach who coached Jordan.
Yeah. And so, and at the end of the movie, they say that Jordan admitted like he had a huge, he wouldn't have gone with Nike had this coach not kind of talked to him and said yes, because I guess Sonny was friends with this coach and the coach was head coach Jordan and was friends with him. So he kind of convinced him too, like Nike's good people and they, right. you know,
so he goes to North Carolina. Sonny goes to North Carolina. I do like the guy that plays Jordan's dad is just kind of like along for the ride. Yeah. He's like, man, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's just like,
that's mom's doing
yep,
that.
Viola Davis takes care of the business and takes care and keeps Michael safe as far as like the corporations and things like that. And he's just out fixing his car.
Yeah.
Just hanging out. So, and Sonny, again, what I appreciate about is there's at no point, obviously you can't do this because he's the hero of the story, sort of, but at no point do you feel like he's being a shyster.
Right.
You know,
right.
like he's being honest. He's like, look, I've seen your son play. I know what he can do. I believe in your son. I believe he's going to be the greatest.
I guess where I struggle with that part of the story is they have to be hearing that from
all
so many people mm-hmm. their entire lives. Right. And
sure.
so, but what makes this guy different?
The people that are negotiating contracts with him are just suits that are like the guy in the boardroom going a fifth pick because he's available. Like the people that are telling him that may say like, oh, yeah, he's the best. But Sonny knows the game and knows the sport. And he's actually saying things like he's seen these. And I think that she read that he actually knows what he's talking about because he says this is what they're going to do. He says, when you meet with these other companies, this guy is going to be wearing this and doing this. And exactly, because he knows they're just business people.
They're just business people.
Where this guy is a basketball fan and he's knowledgeable.
But there's one guy, right? Like that's kind of the thing with Adidas is they don't know who's in the guy. I guess the owner of the company had just died.
Yeah, the founder of the company had just died. So they're in kind of a corporate disarray.
And he's like, ask him this. Ask him who's going to be in charge. Yeah. And of course, there's like a mini little argument, which is exactly what he thought was going to happen.
Yeah.
So there's no real direction with that company. Now, that company's figured it out in 2023. But
oh, yeah. They teamed up with Kanye. They're good. Perfect.
Yikes. They did get the NHL contract, though.
Oh,
like, they do the gear for the NHL.
Oh, and they make skates?
Yeah, right.
All day I dream about skating.
That's exactly what it is. It's a Korn reference. Look it up.
It's not a Korn. I mean, Korn has that song.
That's what
that's a joke that was going around when I was
I heard that
in
from Korn.
Eighth grade.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah. Well, they even say it in this movie.
They do.
And like that, yeah, like I was 13 when this movie was happening. Okay. So, like, yeah, like, I had, that was a joke.
I was going to ask, so when Jordan debuts, do you remember, like, was it immediate where he was the superstar, or was it, did it just kind of happen over time as he got better?
I don't really, so I'm not a sports guy.
Sure,
so
like, sure.
I pay attention to that.
Would you put Jordan on the same level as Hulk Hogan?
No, yeah, well, I'd put him higher.
You put who? That's what I'm saying.
Even though we're not sports guys, we know of Jordan, and he's the best. Like, he played for the Bulls.
I didn't kind of know who Jordan was until like the early 90s.
Until Space Jam came out.
No, I knew before Space Jam, but like, I remember being aware of Jordan when I was in college, not high school.
Okay.
And so I,
like, when did he get traded to the Toon Squad?
When he retired.
But so like, yeah, like the early Jordan stuff.
Sure.
Like, I'm talking about me in college. So I, yeah, like, okay. 84, I would have just been starting high school. I graduated in 88. And so I started college in the fall of 88. I seem to remember him like 89, 90.
Okay.
I think is when I start hearing
rumblings of Michael Jordan.
Like, where he's big enough to where it's not just a basketball story.
Got it. I got it. Okay. Yeah. So that he lays it all out, and all of a sudden he goes back and everybody's pissed off at Sonny. And then we get the call that they're going to take a meeting with Nike. They're going to be at
the Christmas Cena call.
Yeah.
This is when he blows up.
That's
on
great. Cannot I love
believe
this
you would do this. And, you know, it basically undermines if you're cutting out the agent to set up these kind of things, then why do you need to pay 5% of millions of dollars?
Right. Or, if this doesn't work, I'm going to chop your balls off. He's going crazy.
And I don't blame him.
No.
Like, that's literally his job. And if you're cutting him out, then at some point,
that's a lot of money.
That mom's very savvy, and at some point the mom's going to turn around and be like, and you get paid for what now?
You didn't negotiate this deal.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he just goes off. I don't know how much that was improvised or what,
great.
But he's just like, he's doing that whole thing where it's like, I'm going to cut your balls off and feed them to you, and then you're going to shit them out, and then I'm going to feed them to your dog, and then I'm going to make you eat. Like, you're just doing the whole
thing. And I do like where he goes, Matt Damon goes, what happens if it works? He's like, we'll be best friends. So they realize that now they've got this meeting, so they have to... Jason Bateman is in charge of, like, advertising or marketing.
He's the marketing guy.
So they... I like where...
Rob Strasser is his real-life character name.
I like that if... I think they go down and talk to the shoe designer, and he's just like,
Peter,
do I need to be here? Like, tomorrow, he's like, if you're not here tomorrow, don't bother coming in.
If you're not here on Sunday. Saturday, don't come in Sunday.
And
they basically have a weekend to come up with what the shoe is. Because it's like,
a pitch.
We need the best shoe ever created. How long do I have?
Monday.
Yeah, until Sunday.
And I love that.
And this nerd's like, well, luckily I've been thinking about this my entire life.
Yeah, right. And the running gag is that Chris Messina makes a mention of Air Jordan in a conversation. And then when they finally reveal the shoe, and
Peter says,
he's like, I was just thinking like the Air Souls or whatever, but what if we call them the Air Jordans?
And he's like, David said that, but you heard him, right?
You know what? Peter, you said it. Yeah. They're Air Jordans.
Well, the way I remember that conversation playing out, and I only watched the movie once, he technically said Air Michael Jordan.
Slick.
Yeah.
And these are the Air Jordans.
At least that's how I remember, because I remember when he said it, it sounded clunky. I was like, Air Michael Jordan, that's too much.
I remember him saying like he wanted a line like something Michael Jordan's, like the whole name.
Yeah.
I remember
because it
stood out where I'm like, oh, it didn't get called that. I really like this part about the color, because he's like, you know, we want to make them the color of the Chicago Bulls that'll be playing for. And then there's a regulation.
The NBA has a rule where it has to have a certain percentage of the shoe.
They want it mostly
white.
Yeah. They don't want, distract. And then he comes up with the idea is like, make them Chicago Bulls red, make them red, all red, or, a lot of red on them, and we'll pay the fines, $5,000 a day. Or
don't worry
game.
About it. Yeah. And that changed the game.
That's genius, though. Well, I mean, that is so genius.
Because he's like, it's a commercial, right?
Yeah.
And people are going to write in stories about how we're paying these fines.
Gosh.
What I struggled with here is that there are 82 basketball games.
Yes.
That's $410,000. So they'll pay more in fines than they're paying. They're themselves over $250,000.
Right.
But they're willing to pay $410,000 a year if they sign him.
Were there that many games at the time?
82 games a year. I don't think they've changed their schedule.
I mean, if they did, it hasn't been, it can't be radically.
Yeah, because the baseball is 162. I think hockey is 82, I think. and then football is 12.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I think that's why Phil Knight is crapping his pants.
Well,
when it comes to that meeting, he says,
he does. But I was just like, but where are they getting that money from?
But I mean, they're a $1 billion company.
Well, yeah, but then they could, okay, making that argument, then just offer Jordan $500.
I didn't understand that.
Yeah,
if you're saying that you're a $1 billion company and you want this guy, why not just offer him more money?
Well, I think because they don't see the future sales on basketball shoes the way they do on running shoes.
Well, they're a publicly traded company, and
did they just go public? Isn't that what they were saying?
Is not like
that
just, but it happened in the past decade at some point, you know. And I think it's like, well, if we're not bringing in, you know, when they have to do their quarterly earnings,
yeah,
and they're not bringing in money from basketball shoes, and you're raising your budget double, you know, they're yeah, gonna fire Phil Knight. Like, they're, yeah, you can't make those type of decisions,
because I mean, really, this shoe ends up creating a market that didn't previously exist.
That's exactly
and,
right,
and like, you don't know that that's there. You know what the market is for running shoes, so right, like, that's,
well, I think you know what it's there for basketball, just not for Nike, right? Because you've got,
no, Adidas, I'm talking about, like, but it's a sports shoe. It's a shoe that you, it's a shoe that you wear when you're performing a certain activity,
okay,
but you don't continue to wear it right afterwards in the same way that you do a running shoe.
That's fair.
If it didn't take
at
off
the time,
things, I mean, things could have gone completely differently.
Yeah.
I mean, he bet it all. He gambled, yeah, the entire budget plus the, you know, if this didn't work out, Phil Knight could have been fired. They would have all been fired. The basketball division closed. I mean, that was a big gamble to not only give them all $250, but that $5,000 a game. And that's why I think Phil, yeah, Knight was like, we're doing
what? We're doing what? And points.
And points.
Well, yeah.
And like,
but that doesn't come up till the very end.
Yeah,
because that's right, like, you think it's all happy, a bow right on it, it's all happy.
Yeah. And she drops that bomb, and he's just like, ah, blah, blah, blah.
The only thing I can think with the pay and the fees is that, that's a marketing budget.
Comes out of the advertising.
Like, and so he's, yeah, like, well, I'm the marketing guy, so I've decided that that's a good use of my marketing budget.
Yeah,
and
that's fair.
I think that's fair coming, yeah, out of marketing, because it is. And that is brilliant when you think about it, though. Like you said, I mean, everyone's going to be talking about it, whether you're at the game, on TV, the news, the papers,
oh, yeah,
the fact that, like, and now it's the 10th game in a row that Michael Jordan has been fined. But
right,
I mean, that is a nonstop story gaining attention.
I think you could compare it to Colin Kaepernick at this point, like, as a modern day, where it's like every game, every Sunday, yeah, you were hearing about him not playing or taking a knee or doing whatever, and it just became a thing. And I think back then, I don't remember athletes being as politically active. I'm sure they were.
Oh, sure. Muhammad Ali.
I guess that's
not
true.
Going to the
not
draft,
going, yeah,
the Olympic,
the
raising
the fist,
of the fist.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, no, it's...
Were that consistent, though? I mean, like compared to Kaepernick, who was doing it...
Who was, I mean, it? I would... I think Ali's very...
I think that's fair.
You know,
but yeah, this isn't even political, though.
Yeah,
it's
but
just
this
like,
isn't political.
This is just
like a newsworthy.
But
it's a manufactured controversy with,
yeah,
their politics.
Right, right.
Where I, so since there's no politics, people can be like, that's pretty smart.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they're like, I like, even if they're against it, they're like, but you're getting what you want.
Yeah,
sure,
tip,
sure.
You know.
So they bring the Jordans come
now,
in.
Now, in real life, though, what, I mean, or at least eventually, they go, hey, this fine isn't stopping him. We're going to raise that fine, right? Like,
I would think.
NBA eventually goes, well, yeah, if he's willing to pay that, he'll pay 10. We'll take 10,
until
15.
Right. I think that goes for a while until they realize who he is. There comes a point where Michael Jordan becomes bigger than the NBA.
Well, sure.
And then the NBA is like, whatever you want, Mike.
Yeah,
like,
right,
whatever you need.
I think that's probably also a wake-up call to the NBA and professional sports in general, which is like, we've got a lot of real estate we could be selling.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these people saw that these players are billboards. Well, we're going to make them our billboards.
That's exactly it.
Yeah,
that's exactly it. So they have the meeting. We see the shoe for the first time. It's a great looking shoe.
Yeah.
And in typical white collar fashion, out of touch fashion, they set up this highlight reel of Jordan in Carolina playing for North Carolina.
This was so dumb.
It is so dumb.
I'm watching this and I'm just like, this is so dumb. Like from a strategy standpoint, not critiquing the film, because I'm like,
what are you doing?
Like, they already know that he's good at the basketball.
He doesn't need,
like,
to watch the highlight reel of himself.
Right. Like what you're not telling them anything about the shoe or why Nike's better than these other companies. Like, you're just showing him a mirror. Like, he already knows that he can do all these things.
Mm-hmm.
What are you accomplishing?
And they love it, with the exception of Sonny. They're all just watching the video, they being Chris Tucker, Ben Affleck, Jason Bateman and Matt Damon.
Everybody in the room except the people that you need to sell.
Correct. And, right. and Matt Damon can see it happening. He can see this slipping away. And he's like, turn
before
that.
They even cut back. It's funny because like as a marketing guy, before they cut back to the family, I was just like, what?
You're losing.
I'm like, I knowing nothing about sports at the same time, I was like, does this work? Like, yeah. Who? Like, what? You're showing them nothing.
It's
like,
so generic.
Yeah.
And then Sonny stands up. He's like, turn that off. And he gives.
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, that's right. Everybody's like, what are you doing? Like, you're screwing this up. And he gives a great speech about how in 100 years, we're all going to be gone. All of us, except you. Like, you are going to be this thing that's going to be everlasting. And the Jordans stand up and they walk out. And everybody in the room's like, where did that come from? He was like, wherever.
I've been watching a lot of Mad Men.
And now there's just like, there's time, right? Now he's just.
That's waiting. Waiting game.
And you're not, and he can't really do anything at work because they've put all their money
that's
in,
his whole
into
work
this one
is
guy.
Waiting for Jordan to call, yeah.
Yeah, because we haven't said, but in the meantime, while they're chasing Jordan, even if they don't get him, it frees up the budget, but everyone else has been signed
correct.
At that point.
Yeah.
So it really is all the
it is crazy to
basket.
Look at the names. Because, I was watching basketball at this point, but all of the names that they talk about were guys that I, like that.
I was playing NBA Jam.
But
Larry
sure,
Bird,
you know who
Scottie
those guys
Pippen,
are, right?
Charles Barkley. Yeah.
Meadowlark Lemon.
That's exactly right. But man, I remember that dream team. That 96.
I followed that too, and I wasn't a sports guy, but I followed the whole thing with the dream team.
That 96 dream team where you're just like, who would want to play these guys? Because they're going to murder all of you.
Yeah.
But it's just a waiting game. And finally, he gets the call from Viola Davis, and she says, we're going to go with Nike. He wants the car. And he's like, not a problem.
Yeah.
And like, then
what's another 20 grand at this point?
Right. Yeah. And then she hits him with the points.
Oh, and this must have been an oversight, surely, but there was nothing in here about him getting a percentage of each sale. So
great.
Just make sure to.
So good. She's Viola Davis is one of those actresses. Where you could give her the phone book, and she is going to turn
She's
it into
great.
Gold.
Yeah.
And he's just like, you could see almost like he got kicked in the nuts.
Right.
Because
he doesn't
because no one's ever done it. And he knows he doesn't have the juice to push that through.
Correct.
He had to go to the mat, not to mix metaphors.
Had to go to the Ben. He's
mad. Yeah. He had to hit the paint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To get the 250.
Right.
And now it's like, and one other thing. We'd also like, if it's okay with you, all the money in the world.
Which is, it's one thing to, he's overextended, but he
and
got
now,
the budget. But to change the industry.
I will say, as somebody who makes offers for a living with bands, my first thought was like, what do you care? Like
that's kind of where I'm at.
Because I'm like, if the shoe works and it makes all the money that it's going to make,
spoilers,
you're still making a bunch of money. And if it makes no money, then you're like, well, that was nice, we're done with you.
Right.
And then you rename the shoe. And because he doesn't own the rights to like the likeness of the shoe.
No.
Right. It's just if you put his name on it. So you take his name off of it and you put the next guy's name on it. And
I just think
you don't owe him any money.
I mean, I think it's just the fact that, they're the business. They've put all this money up front. And Viola Davis makes all those great points that but your shoes don't sell unless he performs and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But they're like, okay, we've already overextended ourselves. We have to make this money back. And every percentage point of one sold is money they're not getting back from their huge investment. So I think it's just, even though you're right, if it takes off, it's still great for everyone. But still, it's like, well, that's the businesses, they invest and they need their money.
Spoilers. Back. It takes off.
Oh, yes. They expected that they would sell.
I think it was like $3 million worth the first year, and it said they sold $162 million.
Like, I do like the in that speech that Sonny gives. He's like, "This is just a shoe until your son puts his foot in it," and she flips that around on him. And she's like, "It's just a shoe until my son puts his foot in it."
Yeah.
So he's like,
"Well, he says it's just a shoe until someone steps into it," and then
she flips by saying,
"It's just a shoe until my son steps into it."
That's a great line. So he goes to Phil and he's like, look, I'm sorry. Like, we gave him everything, but they want points and we can't do that. And I do love that Phil's just like, give it to him.
Yeah.
At this point, whatever.
And Sonny's just like, are you serious right now? And he's like, why not?
Yeah.
This is how I built this company. And they sign Jordan and he becomes, he wears the shoe game one, I think, at the very beginning of the first season. And look at it now.
Yeah.
I was looking it up just now. the 1984 Nike Airships worn during Jordan's rookie season in his fifth game with the Bulls. How much do you think those shoes,
like the actual ones he wore,
the actual ones that he, well,
or that model of shoe?
This doesn't say. It just says that the, let's see, it says that it's the maybe it's the model or that edition of the shoe.
Okay, this is a big difference between game like worn release. Stuff versus.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. Well, game worn stuff, I'm guessing now would be in the tens of millions.
This one says that this is the pair that was worn by Jordan.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So what do you think that they sold for?
$5 million.
Oh, that's what I would think. $1.5 million.
Well, what year they'd probably sell?
2011.
Yeah. So okay, now if they were reselling them,
and they were $64 bucks. Is how much they were those first runs, and it's just like that's crazy.
I mean, that's history, though. Like, I mean,
you're absolutely right. It is history.
Yeah, I mean, no, there wasn't really a shoe collecting market prior to this.
There is now.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think
this mystifies me because I'm just like, you wear shoes. As soon as you put them on, you're
people that don't collect them. They don't wear them.
There are
they keep them on a shelf and look at them.
Whole TikTok like channels that are dedicated to guys bringing in shoes and like reselling them, and it's like, this is crazy.
It's a huge
industry. It is crazy. Yeah, and they win, right? Like Nike wins.
Yeah,
and they win the greatest competitive athlete.
Yeah.
I mean, of all time. This Sonny changes history here. I mean, if he goes with Adidas, if he goes with Converse, whatever, I don't know if those shoes would have ever taken off. And obviously, hindsight's 20/20, but we are watching this movie and we know what happens.
Right.
Think about being the guys that had the idea, the guys that bet it all, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they changed everything about the industry with this move.
Big time. Well, it's and Sonny, to his credit, we find out at the end, he changes his history again when he kind of goes to bat for college athletes to get endorsement deals.
Right.
That's so crazy for the longest time that they couldn't make any money in the schools.
Officially.
Well, okay.
Yeah, officially.
Which is why you had all that sketchy stuff going on. Because, like, if you're that kid and you're like,
I'm on billboards. I'm on your cups.
Playing in a stadium that's NBA level quality. Like, there's clearly hundreds of millions of dollars getting generated here, and they get none of it.
What are they telling publicity?
We need to keep it pure,
right?
Like,
right. Well, it's the purity of the sport.
Yeah,
shut up.
You're going to get drafted. You know, the NBA is going to see you. That's basically what they're promising them is the publicity of it all, and they're collecting hundreds of millions of dollars
on these. And now, I think those kids can get paid.
Yeah,
I think that's
right. There's deals now.
Yeah.
They can get endorsed. They don't get paid by the schools, but they can have endorsement.
But they can get endorsement deals. Which is who's paying the big bucks.
Right. Yeah. But it's still kind of horseshit that they don't get paid by the schools.
Right.
Well, especially if you're being drafted by the school.
Right.
Right. Like, I mean, I think remember.
But they're trying to make it so that the schools can't just buy the play, like, because it's education. I think they don't want to miss.
But there needs to be some sort of, like, then a percentage goes into a pool and it's split among all the players. Like, and nobody makes more than anybody, but there needs to be some, they make so damn much money.
So much money. All those kids.
All of it. It's gross.
Look at colleges in general. I mean, that's just how it's crazy. How much money is in that system?
Oh, I know. I have one starting in the
fall.
Yes,
you do.
I am painfully well aware. Painfully.
I'll adopt him. You can go to sleep.
Where's he going? If you don't mind saying.
He's going to the Norwalk Conservatory of the Arts.
Oh, okay.
Dang, that's awesome.
It's which sounds fancy, but it's brand new. This is their first year. He will be their first graduating class, so we're kind of rolling the dice. And
Just like Nike.
Yeah. I am Phil Knight. I am Sonny Vaccaro.
Have him create a shoe line and then wear him at graduation.
That kid better be Michael Jordan. But yeah, it's brand new, and it's started by this guy who, for lack of a better term, seems to be kind of like the fixer for theater programs. He's gone into colleges for years and like, here's what you should do to adjust your theater program.
Okay.
So he's got a lot of experience, and it's not just like, you know, Joe's School of Acting.
That's cool.
It's like Accepted, like the movie Accepted, where they make their own college.
Right. And so it's been like a certificate program for, I guess, 8 or 10 years. And so they're leveling up to be a college.
That's awesome.
And so the thought process is normally when you go to a performing arts school, they make you sign as part of your agreement that you won't audition for anything professionally while you're there.
While you're there.
So you have to wait until you graduate or leave. And this school is like that noise. Like, you needs to get paid. And so
we needs the recognition too.
And so they're like, the whole thing is because it's like 40 minutes outside of New York. So they're like, your kid will be auditioning. He will be. Like, we want, we met with, like, the guy who created the school, and he's like, the dream is your son drops out because he signed a deal with HBO Max. Like, that's, he's like, there's too much work for kids of this age. And he's like, so why make him wait until he's 23 to start going and trying to book?
Cool.
Oh, that makes sense.
Sorts of roles.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
And they're like, so we're going to teach him. And it's very, it's also very business oriented. Like, we went up there for like 4 days and got the pitch, and I mean, they were kind of showing you, like, they're going to teach them, like, how to build your, get the right headshot, how to build your resume, like, how to deal with, like, they had casting agents in, they had the director of Hamilton there, like, the current one, not Lin-Manuel Miranda, but they, I mean, it was crazy.
That's awesome.
So there's three different tracks you can be on: musical, theater, dance, and TV and film, and they put them in TV and film.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's the way to do it. Okay. Yeah, that's so, where to go. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, remember for his Oscar speech.
That's right.
Yeah. We're planting the seeds here, and we're going to have little Oscar speeches all over the place.
But yeah, and that's, you know, that's how this ends, right? Is it becomes one of the most famous shoes of all time. He beat Michael Jordan, goes on to be
Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan.
That's what I told my wife when we're watching this. They were like, Michael Jordan went on to blah, blah, blah. And I was like, they should have just said Michael Jordan went on to be Michael Jordan.
It is funny to look at his career, and then when he retired, and then he went to go play for the White Sox for that cup of coffee, and then he went, came back to basketball and played for the Wizards,
yeah,
and then the Bulls, and then he got, went back to the Bulls and won more championships,
yeah,
with Chicago. It's bonkers. It's crazy.
And I think that's part of, like, knowing nothing about sports, but that's part of what made Jordan so great, is he was willing to shift, right? His game changes as he gets older. He can't
jump from the free throw line.
He can't be quite the same force of nature that he was, but he can still do other things infinitely better than other people to make the team rise. And so, like, that's,
it's crazy. It's it's a crazy story. And
Phil Knight would go on to buy Leica for his son,
but also Nike buys Converse at one point. You know, like, it's
but, you know, his son is the head of Leica.
I did not know that.
Travis Knight is Phil Knight's son.
Okay.
And he was going to school for film and animation, and Leica was not started by him. There was a company, and Phil Knight buys it, and Travis Knight
must be nice.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, they've made some great stuff, but you're not wrong. I mean, after the purchase and everything, but he started working there, and he didn't. Travis didn't immediately take it over. He started working there, and then, like, quickly.
I don't like the way this is being run. I'm buying.
But
it.
Like, he did give him like a actual position there. But then, I mean, it was like a very quick ladder climbing.
I bet now he's
the head of the whole studio. But he Travis Knight directed Bumblebee, the one of the best Transformers movies.
Yeah, that's true. He's not directing the new one, right? Hope not.
No,
he
isn't.
It looks real bad.
No, but I was hoping he would keep making them because the
Bumblebee was good. Bumblebee
kind of was better than those other ones.
Had a lot of heart to it.
Again, low bar.
Yeah,
real low.
Touché.
Yeah, this is great.
A fun story.
This is a really fun. It doesn't take itself too seriously, like The Big Short, I think, does. Some people think that it does.
I mean, The Big Short, but that's a serious point that it's making. I think they did a really good job in The Big Short of taking a serious, complex topic and explain it in a way that made sense to the average person.
Correct.
And I'm considering myself one, but still maintained your interest.
Yes.
And eat your vegetables thing.
That's all he's doing now. Adam McKay's next movie is another, like, about some other type. Like, that's all he does now is make these kind of.
That's a shame.
Thinking political, like, making things, interesting things, funny,
right,
and palatable. Like, I guess
I don't mind
niche.
That as much, but what was the last one he did that was.
Don't Look Up.
Oh, boy.
Don't Look Up, but.
I wanted to like it. It was okay. Like, yeah.
No, this is really.
But it was
really
so, like, the Don't Look Up was such a. I think a lot of the people that were actually hating on it, not just thought it was okay, but, like, people hating on it,
right,
are the people who are going to deny it in the sake of making money for the news network. It was such a true movie. Like, everything he was saying about how dumb it was, Idiocracy, an updated.
It was an elevated Idiocracy.
Yeah, and it's like, man, that's exactly what people would do is they would go on. We would get influencers in, and the influencer would say, oh, no, you don't have to worry about that. And people would go, yeah, see, because.
Whoever said that.
Oh, it's so true.
Yeah,
it is true.
So anyway, that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find
me. This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
And on Letterboxd at
Joey. And on Letterboxd at the same.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online at facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group, and of course, don't forget our Patreon. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, Robert pays for Nathan's gift. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice because we already warned you. Better watch out. It's going to ruin the plot.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.